Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back at the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Parker has the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along with us. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody.
Good to be here. Good to be anywhere on a terrific Wednesday. They were cutting the grass at my apartment complex this morning, so my eyes are already itching. As soon as I walked out, I could feel the air just full of loose grass and pollen and bees. So my eyes are a bit itchy. Other than that, I feel pretty good.
Good. Got up early this morning, got rolling, DVR'd the second half of the Blazers-Thunder game, and that was a great decision by me.
You did that this morning?
Well, I DVR'd it last night, and then I watched it this morning.
The Blazers and the Sixers?
Yeah, that great Blazers-Sixers series. They did an early crossover between Western Conference and Eastern Conference playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't make sense. Who'd you say, Blazers and who?
Thunder.
Oh, Thunder. I don't know why I had this.
You know, we talked a lot about it on Monday, I think. Didn't we talk a lot about, like, what happens with the Thunder now?
Yeah, I don't know why I had the Sixers on my mind.
So I'm going to take it. I'm just going to assume that you did not watch.
I'm going to put my glasses back on.
I'm just going to assume you did not watch last night.
Actually, oh, yeah. No, I didn't.
Well, I DVR'd it. Great decision by me. I really DVR'd it because of the first half that Damian Lillard had where he scored 34 points in the first half. And I was like, I feel like we might be heading for something really special in terms of individual performances for a point guard in his prime making a statement that, hey, I'm now a superstar. A closeout game at home after an embarrassing sweep last year. The redemption arc was there for Damian Lillard, and the Thunder are out to a lead in the first half, and Lillard just kept hitting shot after shot after shot. Had 34 at halftime. My eyes were getting heavy. I said, you know what, I gotta call it a night, but I'm going to DVR it just in case. Woke up 7 o'clock this morning, didn't check my phone, stayed disconnected, went downstairs, mowed through the second half, and it was one of the best decisions I've made. It was one of the best basketball games I've ever watched. And it was capped off with a 37-footer from Damian Lillard at the buzzer. Drains it. You see her there, Cody? In case you haven't seen it yet, right there.
Oh, yeah, this will be my first time seeing it.
37-footer. Hits 50 points. Look where he shot it from, 37 feet away.
That was tied at 115.
Yep.
So that was for the win.
Yep. Dribbled out the clock, sidestepped on Paul George, drained a three.
I love a good buzzer beater.
It was one of the better moments in sports this year, in sports the last couple years. Like I said, there are some implications there. Just a guy who has been overlooked sort of, kind of. I mean, he's stuck in Portland. They don't win much. I can only say he's overlooked somewhat because, I mean, I think this is going to be four straight years where he'll be on an All-NBA team. Like, he should be second-team All-NBA guard. But I think last night was the official moment he became the second-best point guard in the NBA behind Steph Curry. Really fun game. It looked like the Blazers were about to blow them out in the third quarter. He hit a step-back three to put them up 9 with about 3 minutes left. The Thunder called timeout and then went on one of the craziest runs you'll see. You don't see games switch the way that one switched as quickly. The Blazers went from up 9, the Rose Garden rocking. I think they still call it the Rose Garden. They used to. The Rose Garden rocking. And then all of a sudden, Paul George and Russell Westbrook came out and started balling. And I think the Thunder went on a 30-6 run was the last, well, I guess was the apex of it. They turned a 9-point deficit into a 15-point lead. They were up 15 with like 7 minutes left. And then the Blazers just kept coming and coming. Hit the big shot at the end of the game to eliminate the Thunder.
So they were down 15 and then got up 9?
No, they were down 9. The Blazers were up 9, got down 15, came back and won at the buzzer.
Mm. That's still quite a swing of emotions.
Sure. Not as big, but yeah. I guess it would technically be the same amount of points.
It's a 24-point spread.
Yeah, either way. Now, they were up 9. It was rocking. It looked like they were about to blow out the Thunder. Then, like I said, you don't really see games switch the way that one switched, where the Thunder all of a sudden just started making every play. And all of a sudden, Westbrook, who couldn't buy a bucket, starts draining threes. And he's starting to feel himself. And he gets his triple-double because, of course, he did. But it didn't matter. Because Portland just kept coming, and Lillard and McCollum kept hitting shots. And they exercised the demons of last year's sweep. It was a really good game. You missed a hell of a game.
Love a good buzzer beater.
Which might be the problem for most of the country, you know, being as it didn't. As me, who's someone who loves it, looked and said, 11:50, going to halftime. Nah, I'm going to bed. Not staying up for the second half. That might be a little bit of a problem. I mean, it sucks that that happens on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, it's Portland and Oklahoma City.
Yeah, but I mean, you got star power there, though. Like, you have 3 of the 12 best players in the league in one series. And I don't know exactly where McCollum ranks. I feel like he's somewhere in the 25 range. So you had 4 pretty big guys. And like I said, 3, Lillard, George, and Westbrook, 3 of the top 12 guys in the NBA. And Paul George and Lillard were going blow for blow. Westbrook was doing his thing, which is both good and bad. And at the end of the day, Billy Donovan loses another playoff series. Russell Westbrook goes to 4-12 in games without Kevin Durant in the playoffs. That is not a good number. Team with the second highest payroll, and like I said, 2 top 10 players busted out, gone. And the best thing about this series has been the rivalry, the beef a little bit. Westbrook and Lillard have had beef for a while. In this regular season, Westbrook and the Thunder went 4-0 against the Blazers, and the cameras caught one of the more savage on-court trash talking when Westbrook looked at Damian Lillard said, I've been busting your ass for years. And then in the playoffs, obviously, that went a little different. Damian Lillard addressed it after the game, too. It was a late game. Emotions are high. I wake up, I see a 2:30 a.m. tweet of a reporter just quoting Lillard saying, Westbrook said he's been busting my ass for years. That wasn't true, for one. He had to make sure to preface, like, first of all, no, he hasn't. But then he goes, and this was the moment of truth. This was the perfect platform and opportunity for him to prove it, and you see what happened. Take that, Westbrook! Man, I mean, Lillard dominated him in this series. Lillard, I believe, outscored Westbrook by 51 points in this series while only attempting 4 more shots. That's a pretty big statement in terms of what player plays efficiently, what players actually can score without hijacking the team. Do you like that stat more or the stat from last night, elimination game, game 5? Russell Westbrook missed 20 shots. The rest of the Thunder players combined. Every other player combined to miss 19 shots.
Which would mean he took a significant amount of shots more than his teammates.
Well, I mean, he took 31 to Paul George's 20. You had Grant and Adams both take 8 shots apiece. Dennis Schroeder took 10 shots apiece. So I wouldn't say he took a significant amount more.
I mean, he took a significant amount more than any one player. Obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, if you just look team versus Westbrook, I mean, they shot the ball 55 times. He shot the ball 31 times. He missed one more shot than all of them. And 24 less shots.
Not a great night for him.
No, it wasn't. That's one way to put it.
There was a really good hockey game last night.
Who played?
Between the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks.
Did you watch that one?
No. But a lot of people have been talking about it.
Have they?
Yeah, it was decided in the third period.
I saw a headline.
Well, it went to overtime, but it was 3-0 in the third period.
Ah, yeah. Who choked?
Vegas.
Did they win in overtime or did they lose in overtime?
They lost in overtime.
I would imagine that'd be tough to blow a 3-goal lead and then come back and win in overtime. At that point, if you believe in momentum, I mean, you got to really say it was a lock for the other team. Who beat Vegas?
The San Jose Sharks.
Shout out to the Sharks.
It was 3-0, and then all of a sudden the Sharks went up 4-3 in the third period. So they scored 4 goals in the third period.
Oh, but then Vegas answered and scored the fourth goal to tie?
They did. And then Sharks scored one in overtime.
Who would have had momentum going to overtime in that equation?
I think the Sharks still.
Still?
Yeah. They scored 4 goals in the third period.
Right, but Vegas gets the one to tie it. I would assume it'd be late in the period if it was, 4-3.
The tying goal came very late.
Because it had to be like in the last minute and a half or so.
They probably had 19-13.
Yeah, they had the goalie pulled, I'm sure.
It was in the last minute.
So, I mean, at that point, who has the momentum?
It's a good question.
I mean, because San Jose had all the momentum before Las Vegas tied it.
I still think the team that scores the 4 goals has got to have all the momentum. If you're scoring 4 goals in one period, I think you feel pretty good going into overtime.
Where was that game at?
That game was in San Jose.
I don't know. I bet that San Jose crowd was – I don't know. How do you feel if you're a San Jose crowd there and you've seen this miraculous comeback and then you're getting ready to celebrate, you're a minute away, and then boom, goal sends you to overtime and you have to wait for intermission? How do you feel there? Is it a win or a loss? Because, I mean, just speaking from experience, I mean, isn't that sort of, kind of, how the Tennessee-Purdue game went? Down big, second half comeback. You go to overtime. I remember feeling like it was a loss when we went to overtime. Just like, damn it. You needed to make one stop. I felt like Purdue had the momentum, despite blowing a 20-point lead. I thought them getting to overtime gave them the mythical momentum.
Well, we would have had to have seen the game to know what the crowd was like. But
Still happy. You're still probably buzzing. Like, yeah, we did it. We had this huge comeback. We're still alive. But then you're probably like, ah, man, we really missed our opportunity. I don't know.
I just saw a lot of people talking about it.
Okay.
I wish I had DVR'd it.
Yeah. We could have killed both of these.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I brought the basketball. You could have, brought the hockey.
I did.
Sort of.
We wouldn't be talking about it if I had not brought it up. Broughton? I don't like broughton as a word.
I use broughton, too. But I don't think it's a word either, but I use it.
There's no way that's a word.
I don't think it is either, but I use it. Just give it the past participle treatment and everything.
Well, either way, we're talking about some sports that happened out west. So I don't know if the hockey was more enjoyable or the basketball was more enjoyable. It sounds like they were both pretty good games.
Merriam-Webster.com says broughton is a word.
Oh, really?
Substandard, past tense of bring. What does substandard mean? Like it works.
It's not as good as the other words you could use.
It works, but you kind of sound like a dumbass if you use it.
Right. So you can use it, but there are better words.
Substandard means slang. Is that the official?
I don't know.
Is substandard slang for slang?
Proper
or slang, I guess, is slang for substandard.
Are you saying slaying?
No,
or
slang.
Slang. Oh.
Like slang, like the
I thought you meant
cool, the cool verbiage.
I thought you meant you're really slaying if you use that word.
The hip young lingo.
Yeah. Mm.
Which so, slaying is slang.
Yeah, true.
That word is slang, too.
Slay.
Mm-hmm. Is that technically a, is that slang? Slang?
If you say, I'm slaying tonight, that is slang.
Is slang just...
I think it's just using the word incorrectly.
But I mean, you're using the word correctly when you say you're slaying. You're just using it metaphorically.
But an 80-year-old person is not going to know what that means.
I mean, that's fine, but I mean...
What are you slaying? Dragons?
It's
no.
Just a synonym for killing. And, you know, people say, oh, you killed that outfit. You're killing the game. I mean, people say that.
I think anytime...
So is it slang or is it just metaphorically?
I think anytime you take a word to use it like metaphorically, it just becomes like that generation's slang.
Mm.
Like in the 70s or whatever, like when people said like, oh, that's hip and tight, like...
Did they probably say tight in the 70s?
I don't know. Like
groovy.
Groovy, yeah.
That would be a weird thing to say now.
Jive.
But I mean, like, if you're saying that's hip or tight, that's slang because that's not what that means. Like to say a shirt is hip, that's, I mean, I don't know, I guess. I mean, like, I feel like slang's
if
different.
If you say a shirt's tight, well, you could just be using the word incorrectly in slang.
Like I said, I feel like slang is... It's still meaning the same thing, like you're killing.
But you're not
actually killing.
That's why I said metaphorically.
Yeah.
So it's like the other words.
But to me, metaphorically is different than slang.
I think slaying is slang. Because you're not actually killing the thing.
Right, but you're killing...
Unless you
are... You're killing something. You're killing the game, the fashion game.
Unless you're the Night King and you're slaying dragons.
Then you're not really killing anything either because it's a TV show and it's mythical.
Maybe. We don't know for sure.
Lingo.
I need a ruling on this, on whether or not slang is technically slang. And I don't think either one of you are prepared to give me the ruling.
I say slang. I say slaying is slang.
I don't think we are slaying this conversation about whether or not slaying is slang.
Just use lingo. The present lingo.
Grass is the example they use on the internet is grass is slang for marijuana. I don't know if that helps us at all. I mean, grass. I mean, that, I think that gives
grass
me
is a, green.
I feel like that gives me a little bit of a point.
Weed is green.
I don't know.
Could be metaphorical.
It's the same thing.
Just go to break. Back on the program. We have hit the weird part of April where, you know, you get a tweeter writing in. Jesco White says, NBA talk sucks. I'd rather hear a discussion on watercolor painting or root canals.
I mean, first of all, he's a nobody, so.
Yeah, Jesco. First of all.
I mean, first of all. He's a nobody, so...
I haven't used watercolors in some time.
It's been a long, long time.
I used to have an easel when I was maybe 6 or 7. My grandmother bought me an easel and a lot of watercolors and stuff. And I enjoyed it, but I would rather just paint instead of using having to mix the water and get the right amount. And sometimes it would be too wet and you don't get the exact color you want. I always preferred regular paint.
I am not artistic at all, so like the painting never appealed to me. Drawing is one of the things I'm the worst at, as far as my skills go. I was thinking the other day, like, you know, girlfriend had her parents come in town on Saturday. They were actually, I guess, one of their traditions between her and her mom is they like to color Easter eggs around Easter. So she got her Easter eggs, and you know, they had apparently I never knew this, but apparently if you have a white crayon and you write or draw whatever you want on the egg and then dye it, it'll then show up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Really? You never did that as a kid?
No. So then I got the – or if I did, I've forgotten. So then I wanted to get the crayon. I was like, hey, I'm going to draw the dog and the cat, Frank and Luna.
Oh, boy.
And then I got the crayon in my hand, and I was like, you know what? I don't even know where to begin to draw a stick cat or a stick dog, and I just put it down and said, I'm going back to the couch.
I'm done with this.
Like, I couldn't even think of where to begin on how to draw a dog. Watercoloring never really interested me. These comments always kind of just not frustrate because I'm going to end up doing whatever I want. Like, that's just kind of how it's going to go. But I'm like, you know, the people who just openly rebel against sports that are actually happening. Like, if you don't like it, I get it. But I always come back to, what do you want in late April, early May? Like, what do you want as an audience?
We could break down the Tennessee football schedule for this coming season.
I mean, we can start running through the offseason Rolodex if you want. Like, I'm sure there's a topic of conversation we could have about what out-of-conference opponents we want to have scheduled. That's always a good one, right?
Yeah.
Who do you want to see Tennessee play? What home-and-home matchup do you want? We could do that.
But we talked about that last year.
And probably the year before somewhere. And it'll eventually come up this year when some big series happens. I'm sure that will inevitably happen.
Texas.
I'd love to go to Texas, see who the real UT is.
I think my final answer was Michigan. Home at the Big House.
Camp Randall, Wisconsin, it'd be great. We could have that conversation now, but usually that's waited until like deep in July or like early July before SEC media days. I feel like as a host, whenever you actually have live sports that are interesting, again, it'd be different if I came on here Tuesday and tried to open with the NBA. Because Tuesday, like, those Monday night games were pretty much just two blowouts, right? Like, they were just two series, I believe, like Toronto and Orlando. Like, things you knew that were going to happen. I don't even think that was it because they played last night. What was the Bucks blow out the Pistons and the Jazz get a pity win in game four at home. Like, I didn't even mention those yesterday. Like, I didn't come here and try to, you know, cram that down your throat, but I'll look at it right now in terms of, you know, last night you had a hell of a finish of a series with two, you know, with at least one polarizing figure. Like, I don't think Dame Lillard's polarizing. I don't think Paul George kind of sort of is, just the whole playoff P thing and then never really coming up big in the playoffs, although he did last night. And then you have, like I said, Damian Lillard, a guy who has been a top three, top four, top five point guard, kind of hitting that next level and having his signature moment, grabbing that second point guard in the league, top five guard in the league mantle. Like, I thought that was a big moment. That game was awesome.
But do you think the average, just the average East Tennessee sports fan cares about that person?
Probably not. To them, I ask, what the hell do you want? I'm talking about Jarrett Garantano and whether or not he's going to be good behind this offensive line when we don't know who the offensive line is going to be. If that's what they want, like, there are plenty of people in Knoxville who do that. Feel free to find you a podcast or go listen to Eric Ainge talk about it, because I'm sure that's what he's doing right now because he can't talk about anything else in the sports world. Feel free. I'm not begging you.
I'm not the biggest NBA fan, but I'd rather hear you talk about the NBA than hear Eric Ainge talk about anything.
Well, when I'm asking you what you want to talk about, you're just going to hit me with Game of Thrones. And, I mean, the same group of people who don't like the NBA, they probably don't like Game of Thrones much either.
No, they don't. They do not.
If it's not Tennessee football, they barely care about Tennessee basketball.
My answer for you used to would have been Tennessee football, but now we've been in purgatory for too long.
I mean, you were talking about the Preds again? Like, is it just like, do you want the NHL talk? Because, I mean, we opened the show with 30 minutes of Preds talk, sort of, kind of, yesterday. Don't you dare fire up that Preds report. Ben, the season's over.
Rawr.
I mean, you can go ahead and fire it up. Here, give me a Preds report. Well, you were going to get it. Go get it. Give me a Preds report.
We talked about the Preds yesterday.
Yeah.
We talked about the city of Nashville for a good hour.
I know. Relatable.
Should we talk
about... Hold on. You don't have your headphones on, but the Prez Report music's playing. Fire up that beautiful music one more time, Ben Lee. Oh, yeah, you want me to take the Prez Report? Roll it again. I'll take it this time, Ben. Don't worry. I got the last Prez Report. I'll hit you with the Prez Report. The season ended two nights ago. It did not go well. There we go.
Many want to fire Peter Laviolette.
Do people care about hockey? Like outside of the Preds. I know that Tennessee has a Preds corner. I do not dispute that. I think they have a really good fan base. I've always respected the fan base. I don't root against the Preds. I usually hop on the bandwagon this year. I mean, they didn't really get rolling enough to get me on board. But I did watch games 5 and 6. I did watch both of those games. At least the third period and overtime of game 6 and all of game 5.
I wonder if people care more about hockey that's not the Preds or the NBA.
Like, I mean, did someone thank God Cody brought up that Las Vegas San Jose game. That one was awesome. Maybe they did. I don't know.
There were a couple people. I think they just like hockey.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I understand those people. I wish I could do better for them.
No, I really did see that being the conversation last night, though. The really good hockey game. I just didn't see anything about the NBA game.
I mean, if you're just judging that off of Twitter, I think you just have your own echo chamber because mine was all NBA. I follow more people who like the NBA, so yeah. Mine was a buzz of Damian Lillard, and the front page of ESPN.com right now is Damian Lillard.
It's weird that my echo chamber would be hockey, but maybe it is.
And then I said, the front page of ESPN is Dame Lillard right now, and it might be because ESPN is still a little hurt over the NHL taking their rights away, a decade ago, although they do show some of their games on ESPN Plus, so they have – at least somewhat squash the beef. But, I mean, if you look at the headlines, Cody, the headlines, Murray remains number one favorite, Marshawn Lynch retires, Lillard 37-foot buzzer, Luke Walton investigation, penalty on Vegas stole game 7. So there we go. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's like 5th on ESPN's front top headlines.
This is really going to put a damper on hour two headlines.
Yeah. Sorry, I just mowed through most of those.
I got plenty of Game of Thrones stuff. See what Maisie Williams said yesterday? That's actually my echo chamber is Game of Thrones stuff right now.
And I got plenty of that, too. I like it, but I acknowledge that when we talk about it, not everyone's going to like it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, is Game of Thrones not bigger right now? Granted, we're a sports network, but is Game of Thrones not bigger right now than the NBA or NHL playoffs? I mean, worldwide, I think without a doubt it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but I think that the issue we'd run into there is, like you said, the sports network. So, yeah. The people who are listening to us are not the world demographic. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There are plenty of people who don't like sports and who are really into Game of Thrones and fantasy and stuff like that. But of our, 10,000 or so sports fans who are listening – I don't know what the percentage breakdown would. It might still be higher than the NBA. I don't know. Nothing happened on Game of Thrones last night either.
No, of course not. But
we talked about it on Monday. We opened the show with it on Monday.
Well, it's an interesting topic because I don't think our demographic – I wonder what it would look like, our demographic, in their interest in the NBA, the NHL, and Game of Thrones.
And then non-Preds NHL.
Yeah, non-Preds.
Because, the Preds are gone. You heard the Preds report. In case you didn't, fire it up one more time, Ben Lee. I'll give you one more Preds report. Let's go to John Reed for a Preds report. Yeah, they lost to Dallas on, Monday night. The season ends in heartbreaking fashion. Despite winning the Central Division, they get knocked out in the first round as they fall to Dallas in overtime, 2-1. Now questions surround about Peter Lafayette's, how do you say his name?
Laviolette.
Laviolette's future and whether or not the Preds make a change. But to sum up Game 6 and the season,
it
did not go well.
Boom, there it is.
So I fed them a little bit, if you like that. And you gave them the Vegas-San Jose, and we talked about a little bit about momentum. Because I don't know anybody who plays on – who plays on Vegas? I mean, James Neal's not still there, right? Didn't they grab him from the Preds? But he's gone now, right? He's not still in Las Vegas, correct? For some reason, I thought James Neal got traded. He's
James
in Calgary. Yeah,
Dill?
Neal.
Oh, James Neal.
Real deal, James Neal.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, the Preds might
I
be
played
missing
football
him.
With a guy named James Neal.
I don't think it's the same one.
It's not.
It might be, but I just don't imagine that you could come from Arkansas to being like a world class NHL player.
Kind of a similar build. I mean, he was a very athletic guy.
Okay, it might be the same guy.
I don't think it's.
Ever seen a picture of the hockey player James Neal?
Yes.
Okay, and it wasn't him?
It's been some time.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I would love to see those numbers, though.
Sure.
Based on what people like and what they don't.
If you are listening, tweet me, tweet Cody. Give us your rundown of the stuff you like. Like, give us the stuff you want to hear for the next month and a half. Because me personally, I love talking about the NBA.
Ryan tweets in that he likes my haircut. Thank you, Ryan. It's very nice.
Your haircut's always weird to me.
I don't know why you would like this one, though. This was just a buzz cut, and then...
So I was always going to say, it always looks a little weird to me. You look a lot... You remind me a lot of Kevin Owens. His hair does kind of the same thing.
Are you talking about the guy from The Office?
No, that's Kevin... Is it O'Neill?
Who is Kevin
Malone.
O'Neill?
Malone. Sorry. I fixed it before you
corrected
me.
I thought he was an NBA player.
Kevin O'Neill's like a basketball coach.
Carl Malone.
Ah.
Kevin Malone.
God, no.
It's always something.
Not Kevin. Yeah. Kevin Owens, a wrestler.
He took a heel turn last night.
He did. We could have opened up with that. That was a big deal. Because let me tell you, when it comes to heel work, there aren't very many people better than Kevin Owens working as a heel. I was kind of interested to see what he could do as a face, but it wasn't going to work. So he turned heel on the New Day, and now he's going to fight Kofi Kingston for the championship. And I kind of hope Kevin Owens wins. I'm a big Kevin Owens fan.
Let me Google Kevin Owens. That was a very rude thing for you to say.
About Kevin Owens?
That I look like Kevin Owens.
That's not rude. How's that rude? What's wrong with that?
The guy looks just like Trey Wallace, honestly.
Kevin Owens does?
Yeah. Look at this. Look at this photo. Does that not look just like Trey Wallace?
His hair doesn't look there like I thought it did.
Trey's got a spiffy new haircut.
Out here looking like Heavyset Macklemore.
I was giving you a compliment, Trey.
No, you weren't. You said you were insulted that I said you looked like Kevin Owens, and then you immediately fired back with he looks just like Trey Wallace. If we do the transitive property, you were upset that I said you looked like Trey Wallace.
That's not the same.
If we're doing the transitive property, that's what was happening.
That's like saying Florida beat LSU and LSU beat Alabama, so Florida could beat Alabama.
He does kind of look
Some
like
people say that.
He does kind of look like Trey.
I saw one picture where he looked like Trey. I didn't mean to say
I don't think he looks anything like Trey.
I didn't mean to say don't compare me to him because he's ugly. He looks like Trey. I just meant I don't think I look like him.
It's not the hair. It's just in the face.
Okay, maybe.
I think it's mostly the cheeks.
Maybe.
Yeah, and the eyes, too. It's right in the face.
Okay, maybe. I'm kind of seeing it the more you talk about
the
it.
The hair's the same shade. Different cut, but same shade.
I think Trey's hair is a little bit lighter than that.
So feel free to tweet us. Hell, we'll open the phone lines up. You guys love phone calls. So we'll open the phone lines up. You tell us what you want to hear. Don't talk about what you want to hear. Just strictly tell us what you want to hear. I'm genuinely curious as to what people want when it comes to late April, all of May, all of June.
546-8200.
Ben Lee, plug in the phone number. A true professional. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. All right, today's show will just be, we will give you what you want. We will serve you what you need. Let's just roll through the comments, Cody. If anybody's tweeting you without tagging me, please let me know what their topic is. That way we make sure we hit them. Is that fair?
Very well.
All right, let's talk. Let's get up here. Josh said he likes the NBA, loves the NBA talk. I appreciate it. Let's get to it. We got the X's. It's going to be harder than I thought. The X's and O's of every game support these boys. I mean, well, X's and O's, okay, let's see. okay, let's try another one because I don't know what game we're supposed to do the X's and O's of. I mean, Damian Lillard.
Should we just pick one from last year?
I mean, if we're looking at the X's and O's of every game, which is what Monty asked, every game, the X's and O's of last night, I mean, you saw at the end, Damian Lillard really executed properly the late game 2-for-1, right? It was a masterpiece in handling that because Paul George, to his credit, playoff P, was good last night. He was 14 of 20. He was good. And when the game was tied, he got the ball at the free throw line. It was a little two-man game between him and Westbrook. Westbrook seemed actually scared to shoot because I think Westbrook realized he had just choked the game away. Paul George rose up, hit a free throw line jumper with about 38 seconds left. And at that point, like, okay, probably just need one stop here. But Portland, brilliantly. Terry Stotts drew up a great call. They got Dame in a high-level pick and roll out there near the three-point line. He gets to the rim, hits a layup with 30 seconds left. Do you know what that means, Cody? When you hit a layup with 30 seconds left to tie the game?
You have two more points than you had before.
Yeah, keep going. Let's work through this. Come on. Two more points.
What are you trying to get at here?
You tied the game. You shot and you scored with 30 seconds left.
Oh, the other team has the last shot?
Wrong, because the shot clock is 24 seconds.
In college, the other team would have the last shot.
In college, you are right. In the NBA, the shot clock is only 24 seconds. So if you shoot and tie the game with 30 seconds left, what does it mean?
It means the other team's probably going to try to take a shot.
Come on. You can
late
do this.
Late in the shot clock? I don't know, because do you give them 6 seconds or do you give them more time and you try to – okay, I'm thinking the other team's going to try to take a shot early to
usually
try to preserve
30,
the last
usually
shot.
30 seconds is like the perfect timing. Usually 30 seconds is – it's not enough time for the other team to call a timeout and go really quick because at that point, you know, pretty much a play has to take at least like 4 seconds. So what it means is that you're basically guaranteeing yourself at least 6 seconds and the last shot. At least 6 seconds, but usually teams go a little bit quicker. Westbrook went with like 10, 12 seconds left. Got to the rim, bad shot by him, timeout Portland, last shot. You either go to overtime or you win the game. Obviously, you saw what Dame Lillard did, just straight ISO. And it was like, hey, Paul George, I know you're an all-defensive player candidate. I know that you are going to be all first team or first team all defense, but hold this.
I think
I
would
try to grab his crotch.
That.
I mean, metaphorically, hold this, and then grabbed his crotch.
He was talking about his.
Yeah.
You can hold this, Paul George.
Hold this, Paul.
Yeah.
Three. And then you had maybe the saddest thing I've ever heard, which is Paul George after the game talking about this shot, and Paul George had the audacity to sit up there and say, well, it was a bad shot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a bad shot. Care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
To me, it's been a long time since I've heard a more loser press conference.
Talking about the 37 footer.
They got buried right in his eye, saying it was a bad shot.
Isn't it though? I mean, to take a 37 foot to not have a better look than 37 feet out.
I mean, Damian Lillard consistently hits there in this series. I mean, he was 8-for-12 beyond 30 feet. Like, he's really good at creating a lot of space for teams, for his team, his offense.
It's still going to be a lower percentage shot than, you know, closer to the basket.
I mean, do you want a cookie, Paul George, for saying you held him to a bad shot because he drilled it right in your face?
He did do that.
You can't come out and say, oh, well, he got lucky. It was a bad shot. No, Damian Lillard looked and said, you know what? This is the shot I want.
Yeah, he didn't even have, like, any idea of, like, moving around at all.
No, he didn't. He had no other interest in going anywhere else. He
watched
the clock,
yeah.
Dribbled it out and said, I'm going to take this step to the right, and bang. Series.
If he had missed it, would Portland fans be talking about how he took a bad shot?
Probably not with Portland. Probably not with Portland because he's earned that respect. I mean, it's the same thing as Steph Curry. If Steph Curry shoots that shot, you live with it. Damian Lillard shoots that deep three as good, if not better, than anybody in the league outside of Trae Young, who actually shot a better percentage. People forget that. Trae Young also has that range and shot a better percentage from out there.
Many forget.
Many people.
I don't know.
Either forget or just don't care enough to know in the first place.
37 feet sounds like a long way out to me.
It does, but when he drains one in your eyes to send you home, you can't go on the podium and call it a bad shot.
You look weak if you do that.
You can say, hey, it's a tough shot.
You may be right, though. if you're Paul George. You may be right, but you do look weak.
I mean, if I'm the Blazers, you asked me if I was a Blazers fan, the way I would look at it would be, well, what the hell else were we going to do? And that's kind of what Damian Lillard says. Like, I didn't want to drive to the rim and put the decision in the ref's hands because they might not call a foul. He's like, I didn't. He didn't say it, but he's like, I'm not passing to Mo Harkless in the corner. I'm not letting C.J. McCollum steal my moment. Like, I got 47 points. I want a three to get to 50 and have, you know, my storybook moment. I'm not passing to any of these Schmohawks out here.
Who the hell is Mo Harkless?
Exactly.
I've never heard that name.
He was like a top 10 draft pick.
Really? What year?
At this point, it's probably been 5 years ago. The Magic drafted him.
Never heard of him.
I mean, you're not alone there. I'm not saying that you're dumb for not hearing of him. He's like a friend's rotation guy. But he's like one of the Blazers' best players because the rest of the team's not very good whenever you get away from Lillard and McCollum. So Dame was just like, what do you want me to do? Pass to one of these losers? So I love the X's and O's of Terry Stotts there to draw up the play. And sometimes it's as simple as, I mean, what do we say here? Get the ball in the hands of your best player, right? Well, you guys want everything to be about Tennessee football. Every now and then, that's what we said about Jim Chaney. We hope he knows how to get the ball in his best player's hands. Terry Stotts, you got to give the credit to the X's and O's. Great way of drawing it up. Here's the ball, Damian Lillard. Get the hell out of the way. That's what you want from coaching.
We still managed to get another NBA segment there.
Well, I mean, he asked X's and O's of every game, so I just went with the most recent game I watched. I don't know if they call it – do they call it X's and O's in hockey? I don't know if they do. Like, when they go to the – do they go to the whiteboard and draw stuff up?
Oh, yeah.
They do, like, during timeouts
and
stuff?
I feel like they do that in every team sport, don't they?
Do they even have – I mean, they only have, like, one timeout in hockey.
They
actually carve theirs in ice.
They have set plays, but, like, they're not, like, out there, like, drawing stuff up. It's kind of like soccer.
No, yeah, I mean, I understand that. I think of X's and O's – usually I think of in-game adjustments, like last play type of thing. But, yeah, I know they have, like, sets and you know, obviously they have formations and ways they try to go about doing things. I didn't watch the San Jose Sharks and San Jose and Vegas. I didn't watch that. Sorry, Monty, can't really give you the X's and O's there. But if you'll stick with us on Talk Sports, we'll continue to hit your topics. Continue to tweet us in what you want to hear. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Kneezy tweets in. Before we get to his, but a couple of things. We got LL Cool J tweeting in that Lillard was 8 for 12 on those shots this series. Yeah, not a bad shot when you hit two-thirds of them.
Didn't know LL Cool J listened to the show.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
They love him, the ladies. Tucker also shares Kurt Goldsberry's shot chart. Like I said, this year, between 30 and 40 feet this year, Damian Lillard made 39.2%. He shot 51 threes between 30 and 40 feet. He hit 39%. Just a little, I guess, data reference point. To be considered an elite three-point shooter in the NBA, you have to shoot 40%. So he basically shot 39%, just a hair under elite from 30 to 40 feet. So no, Paul George, it was not a bad shot. Kneezy tweets in that he thinks there's a difference in clutch shots, game-winning shots, when the game is tied versus when you're trailing in the game. Do you agree with that?
Game-winning shots are great, but he feels like tied game shots and come-from-behind game winners are two different kinds of clutch.
Yeah. I've always thought that. I agree with that. Yeah. I think, like Dame Lillard's last night, when the game's tied and you're able to dribble out the clock, that's a different feeling knowing if I miss, overtime.
Yeah.
Versus if I miss, we lose.
Yeah, because you have a safety net.
Sure.
Yeah, being down two and hitting the game winner, much more lethal, much dirtier.
Same as in the NFL quarterbacks. Like, can your quarterback lead a game-winning drive when you're down four and you need a touchdown?
Right. There's different kinds of game-winning drives.
Or can he get you in field goal range in a tie game?
Right.
To me, those are two drastically different things.
Hugely different things.
Game's tied. Can you get in field goal range or you're down 1 point needing a field goal to win? That's a different type of clutch. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, both very exciting ways to end the games. I think we both agree, though, that the dagger at the buzzer is always more exciting.
Well, not only at the buzzer, but just if you lose, you miss. Or if you miss, you lose, excuse me.
Yeah.
Like, there's no safety net. If you don't make that shot, your team's done.
Yeah, which is much cooler to see.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Than just, you know, the tie game. Because in the tie game, I would almost, when I'm watching sports, I would almost rather it go to overtime.
Really?
More sports.
I mean, unless you have a rooting interest in the game, obviously.
Of course, of course.
I would rather just, rooting interest.
If it's a really good game, I would rather just see more game.
You prefer more game over the thrill of a game winner? Because, I mean, that game winner last night by Lillard, like I said, was iconic. It was a moment that you will remember. It's like the one he hit in 2014 against the Rockets to eliminate the Rockets. Like, he now has two of those he can put on his highlight tape. I think just from as a sports fan, again, I had no rooting interest in that game. I think the moment of, wow, he just actually hit a 37-footer outweighs the joy of five more minutes of basketball that might end up with a four-point lead and teams fouling the last 45 seconds of the game.
It depends on the sport for me. Like, the only baseball games I've ever enjoyed are those that have gone to, like, just deep in the night. You know, you remember that Dodgers game a couple years ago in the World Series? Or was it the
– I remember the Cubs-Indians did it. I don't remember – I mean, I'm sure the Dodgers did it. Yeah, Dodgers-Astros did it, right?
Right.
Like a 16-inning game?
Right. It was
in Los Angeles.
It was in the World Series.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the coolest games I watched. I love games like that.
I hate those whenever you don't know when it's going to end.
I like extra innings.
Like, the thing about playoff hockey, like, I get it. It's exciting. A golden goal. It's really fun. But I was going to make the decision of if the Preds didn't lose in the first overtime, I was going to bet. See, you remember when we went to that Ice Bears game?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And how it just never ended. It went to three overtimes, and you just kept getting more hockey.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that's the Ice Bears.
Who we love.
Nothing against the Ice Bears.
Who we love.
But that wouldn't be like.
Don't we love our Ice Bears?
Absolutely. The station where the Ice Bears play. But that wouldn't be nearly as cool as seeing the Preds in an overtime period.
I know, but I still think about like the second or third overtime, even with the Preds, you'd be like, oh, my God, just end this. I'd much rather see a goal with like 10 seconds left in regulation than see overtime.
I think you're right about hockey. I think I don't like
baseball's the same way.
Baseball's different.
You don't know if you're going to get a damn run.
I like extra innings in baseball because it becomes more of a chess match. And that's the thing that all these baseball fans keep telling me is that that's the beauty of baseball.
Of a chess match. Listen
it does. It does. I think baseball is my favorite overtime.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll say NFL, college football. Well, the NBA, would you rather a game-winning moment happen at the end of the game? Thumbs up if you want the game-winning moment. Thumbs down if you want overtime. Ben, thumbs up. He wants the game-winning moment. Parker, yeah, game-winning moment.
Some games are not long enough, though.
All technically go 60 minutes in football.
Well, with the NFL and college football, we're getting plenty of time.
Lightning's there.
With the NFL and college football, we're getting over 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours of game. That's enough game. In basketball, though, you only get 2 hours of game.
I'm all right with that.
I like long games. I like seeing these endurance contests. Who can outlast the other man?
College football got rid of those marathon games. They looked at LSU and Texas A&M. Was like, nope, no more. Fifth overtime, we're going to 2-point conversions.
Well, that was excessive.
I hated that game.
That one was a little excessive.
Everyone's saying, oh, I hate that they're getting rid of that rule. No. At that point, like, it was obvious, like, it was going to come down to a 2-point conversion anyways because every offense was just going to keep scoring because the defense was gassed. Like, everybody just kept scoring touchdowns, and it was just whether or not you got your 2-point conversion.
Well, 74-72 was excessive. But, like, when we went to overtime with Arkansas, maybe it's because I was much younger, but I remember that being one of the coolest games I ever saw, which that was like 02, mm-hmm. So I would have been younger. But when we beat Arkansas in 6 overtimes.
And it was Arkansas.
The Witten catch over the middle. Mm-hmm. That's probably just my personal my personal bias.
I mean, it would suck to just lose on a random 2-point conversion contest.
Well, what about Alabama? You remember when we went down to Tuscaloosa, beat them? That was, what, 5 overtimes? Jason Allen, I believe, he had the knocked it away, that last pass.
Just hit a field goal at the end of regulation and win it for us.
I think we won that one like 51-43, something like that. That was cool.
Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.